So, August 1st, 2018, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. If you'd all please rise for a flag salute, followed by a moment of silence for our servicemen and women. And I would also note that it was reported this week that 34 police officers have died in the line of duty so far this year, and we've also experienced a number of losses of firefighters in California this week, so for all our first responders as well. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So first item of business, which we can take together unless anyone objects, would be the minutes of the regular and executive session meetings of July 18th, 2018. Does anyone have any comments? Or if there are no comments or corrections, motion?
Make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting for July 18th, 2018.
Second.
As well as? The minutes of the executive meeting on June 18, 2018.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, so in addition to our agenda tonight, you'll see in the handout that we have a presentation from our PBA Local 386. A couple months ago, I saw them give a presentation to local schools based on some of their fundraising of some medical equipment that they were donating, and they've had a standing invitation since then to come and let us know the good works that the PBA does, or our community does. With that, we have Officer Unkert of Lebanon Township Police Department.
Mayor, thank you, and thank you for recognizing the loss of our first responders in the nation recently. I guess that's a pretty... No, let me back up a little bit. I've been an officer in Lebanon Township for 21 years. My history is also within EMT, firefighting, about a little bit of everything. Law enforcement was my catalyst through family. Recently in the nation, there's been a lot of traumatic experience in the schools, not even schools, post offices in the past, and large businesses as well, where you have a deranged person come in and inflict a lot of damage on people. Big debate regarding firearms and that in the nation right now. That's something which the 386, the PBA, which represents Lebanon Township and Tewksbury, didn't want to get involved in. You know, it's not our position. We're here to protect and serve. That's up to our nation's leaders to figure out the best and appropriate way to handle that. But it bothered us to the point where we have many, many hours invested in what can we do? How can we help? Through research and listening to the news, we found that most of the time it's a mass casualty incident, which is described as a call which is above and beyond the scope that they can handle on their own and usually need supplies. With that, we found a trauma kit which has 8 individual pods in it, which contains your very basic first aid supplies, being bandages to gauze with clotting material, to a chest seal, tourniquet, and also within this box is a litter to help carry people out of the situation when it's been neutralized. Myself being EMT and other people which are involved are willing to go out above and beyond our job spec and to assist the schools in training their first responders within that facility. It's through National Stop the Bleed. It's very publicized, you know. The buzz right now is Tourniquet, which I'm sure Chief Grant will be happy to explain later on if needed. But our goal was crunching numbers and seeing how many people would need some sort of immediate intervention prior to the full entourage showing up. There's basically 8 people per floor. So what we did at the 386 is we offered, or not offered, we gave to the schools, being Woodland, Valley View, and Voorhees, which will be coming shortly, one of these trauma boxes, again, which has eight pods within it, to be stationed on each floor of the school. Tewksbury Township did the same with your elementary school and OTS. So they have three boxes deployed currently at this time. The school staff that we spoke to and initiated this were very, very enthusiastic, and we're kind of enthusiastic as well because we're recognizing the problem of trying to help, not as we're helping the students that may be injured, staff members, family members, but it's also helping out the first responders, which do show up. They know it's going to be there. They know that there's a box, and I should be able to get my essentials to take care of the problem once they're allowed to go in and handle it on their own. This funding was directly done through a fund drive that we do yearly. I say help us to help you. It's going out shortly to see a flyer. Other than that, we try to focus on the needs, and right now this is our gift back to the community, being Lebanon Township, Tewksbury, Califon, and all the students and people which will be at any of our education facilities. Any questions, comments?
No questions.
Did I hit everything I got the other night?
Yep, yep, from the other night, mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you for your time. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That would be the only comment. Thank you very much. And, appreciate you having active in the community.
Right.
Half a step backward. I think we just noticed on the minutes a minor typo. Did we?
Yeah, what happened was I didn't realize it until Tom goes June 18th, and then I looked and I saw it's June, and
so the executive session
July.
Is
said
June.
Oh,
July.
Okay,
so
thank you.
Correct.
And then it was too late. And I didn't know the procedure.
It's a formality. I'll just change it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next item would be open to public comment, limited to agenda items only, and remind the public that these meetings are recorded and posted on the Internet as soon as possible. So if there's a motion to open to public comment.
I'll make a motion to open to public comment, limited to agenda items only.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So if any member of the public would like to make a comment on the agenda items, seeing none.
I'll make a motion to close.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. First item of business, Resolution 56-2018, related to our bond anticipation note. By resolution of the Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon and the County of Hunterdon, New Jersey, this designates a $3.2431 million bond anticipation note dated July 26, 2018, payable July 26, 2019, as a qualified tax-exempt obligation pursuant to Section 265B3 of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 as amended. A little bit of background note, this is, we do an annual rollover of our bond anticipation notes. As this part of this transaction, our new interest rate is 2.05%, and we had an interest, a principal pay down from the note that we rolled over, which the minimum required was $822,000, was paid down on our debt. Any discussion, or is there a motion to approve Resolution 56-2018?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution Number 56-2018.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, Resolution 57-2018, redemption of tax sale certificate. This, whereas the tax collector did sell a tax certificate number 201101 on October 26, 2011, and whereas the amount of $52,457.43 has been collected, be resolved that the treasurer be authorized to prepare it and the mayor and clerk authorized to sign a check in the amount of $52,457.43 to Lebanon Township for this redemption. Any discussion, comments, or motion?
Make a motion to approve Resolution 57-2018.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Next resolution is number 58-2018. This is resolution in support of a TWA, which is a treatment works approval application. This is basically an extension of an application that was filed August 5th, 2015, or the plan is from 2015. This is for an 8-unit septic system, which is larger than what is locally approved by the county. And so this resolution is basically a statement of consent for the application to be submitted to the Department of Environmental Protection. The township is not taking a position on the design of the septic system, the adequacy of the system. That's why it's not at the Board of Health. It's with the Township Committee to basically send this application. The engineer couldn't be with us tonight. He gave me a little bit of a briefing. And as I understand it, the way the law works, this basically shortens a 60-day grace period. If we don't approve it in 60 days, it moves to the Department of Environmental Protection in any case. Any discussion?
Nope.
Is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve Resolution 58-2018.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Yes. The next item on the agenda is called SLEA, which is Special Law Enforcement Officer, Class 3, North London and Bury Shared Service Agreement. Unfortunately, some final comments weren't received in time for consideration tonight, so we'll table this.
As in, still not, so that's accurate, yes.
So we'll table this to the next meeting. Next item of business is the Department of Public Works Mechanics Bay Floor Repair. A couple of meetings ago, well, let me back up a half a step. Earlier this year, we sent out to bid two processes in two different procedures, quotations for recontouring the floor, which has a defect where the water doesn't run correctly into the drain. Both of those bid procedures did not result in acceptable bids. So then by statute, we're allowed to negotiate directly. We negotiated with Fromkin Brothers Incorporated and had before us a couple meetings ago a proposal for $44,692 that was felt would potentially, would solve the defect. We didn't take any action because it's this is a problem of longstanding that we want to really think about and get it right. In the meantime, our DPW supervisor went back, and I think over the, this has been years that we've been thinking about it. We keep learning more every time we go and talk through this. So he went back to a concrete contractor and discussed the possibility and sort of pricing of actually cutting and removing two roughly 14 by 36 foot bays out of the floor and repouring the concrete with the right profile. In discussing this with the attorney, it was viewed that this is too different of a procedure to qualify under the statutory exemption to directly negotiate. So if we want to consider the cutting out of the concrete and repouring, it requires a new bid process. Do you want to give any updated price? You might have something more than I know, but
the only thing is that they talked about doing the floors in two sections.
Yep.
Because of having the building structurally secured through the pinning in the floor.
Yep.
So what we had talked about was leaving a 5-foot strip down the middle between the piers, and then being able, because otherwise if you have to cut it two sections, it's two different jobs. Because they have to wait 30 days for it to cure. So this way they can still, and then you have to bring everybody back again. So this way they can cut out the two sections at the same time, pour the two sections at the same time. We're still leaving the support in the middle. We're just waiting for the structural engineer, who's on vacation this week, to get a hold of him next week. The contractor felt that it would be appropriate, and Keith, the architect, thought it would be appropriate, but we're just waiting for confirmation from, and Steve, the engineer, also thought it was appropriate, but we're just waiting for the structural guy to actually say, yes, we can do that.
And the price indications we're getting
is similar to doing the recontouring. It was like $38,000, I think he gave given me. The only thing he didn't do, we weren't expecting to have to go out the bid, so you're going to have the prevailing wage on that.
So
we're hoping with cutting the 5 foot out, they kind of compensate for that. So less material. And
so ballpark $50,000. So the proposal we had for recontouring is $44,692. No one was jumping up and down saying that's absolutely the right solution. This solution in the $50,000 range, but clearly subject to going out to bid, or the committee if they've decided it's they don't want to take any action. I think tonight the question is if there's a motion to take the Fromkin bid or if there's a motion to send out to the bid process for the cutting out of the two 14 by 36 foot bays.
Yeah, I'm going to make the motion to do the cutout. This other process is seems a little sensitive to issues, trip hazards. It's just kind of throwing a band-aid on something that's not right. And for the cost difference, we'll have a new solid, well tapered to the drain floor.
Okay. So I think, and I think just to be clear, I don't think we're voting tonight to actually send it to bid. I think we need a little more engineering input, and we can work out the calendar of some dates, and at the next meeting, or as soon as we can work that out, we would try to have
calculate quantities and whatnot. Is that what you're talking about?
For the bid? I don't know how much detail we would go into for.
Well, obviously, the quantity is going to be the driving.
Steve Reese probably would supply the
majority of it should be done. It's just going to be a matter of leaving that 5 foot piece and re-sectioning it out. Because I did give him what Steve gave me originally.
Okay.
So the majority of it should be there. It's just a matter of making the connections.
So the motion on the table is to prepare a bid package for the alternative of cutting out the two bays. Any other discussion? Or
so structurally, are they going to put back what they take out, two layers of mesh?
Yep.
Are they repinning it to the existing concrete?
Yes.
But they don't have to repin the structural truss.
There's
going to
be, a section of how wide would that be? 2 foot, 18 inches, 3 feet, going down the middle?
Like
sounds
five,
like
5 foot.
5 feet.
And what it is actually between the two bay doors. It's a six foot piece between the two doors. He was going to bring it in 6 inches just to make sure to catch everything off the trucks.
Then that will contour to the drain that's there.
He's going to put a new drain in, and he was talking like 20 feet long, a drain, just so we don't get too much of a slope to the drain. Being as we've cut the bay down now. I think it's like
so you can taper it the whole length instead of
right.
directing everything to one central point.
Right.
Makes a lot of sense. Yep.
Okay.
So there's a motion on the table. Any other discussion or a second?
I'll second it.
No further discussion. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next item. Some time ago, I guess it was late last year, and again during budget period, everyone recognizes that the main door for our municipal building is in need of repair. Warren, some months ago, got a first indication from a state contractor, and correct me if I give the wrong facts, but basically we asked what would it be to replace what's there, and the contract we got was for two solid, meaning no windows, wooden doors, side lights, replacing what's there with the requirements for ADA compliance and the like. As again, it turns out there are catalogs full of alternatives for what can be done there, and as we thought about it more, and I think a lot of us were surprised at the price, but you know, they were beautiful cherry doors, and we may want to go there. What you have in front of us is we've gotten some alternatives. One, so what we're asking for tonight is some direction, because we can't go to contractors and ask for quotes on every possible alternative. So one alternative that came up was whether we need to replace it with two doors as it is now. And as I've learned, modern doors no longer have the middle column. So it would be more like the door we have here, two doors that if you open them completely, it's open. And so just one example of pricing that out from a manufacturer without any labor or anything involved, we found a quote for two doors. And now, well, let me back up. So the thought was a window on the top at least of the door, if not the whole door, is probably a very useful idea so people don't open doors into someone standing outside. So we got a quote of sort of a factory-matched windows on the top, kind of a colonial look, trying to match the building. Turns out two doors, and from this manufacturer, maximum could be 5 foot 2 inch opening for the double doors. because the side lights have to come in a little bit and the like. The material for two sets of panic bars, this is a pretty high quality, high end from every report, commercial door, 3-point locking hitches and like. It's Anderson E-Series, extruded aluminum on the outside, wood on the inside. And the materials would be $16,410. So then we asked, what if there were one wider door, 42-inch door with wider side lights? What does that do to the price? Trying to figure out what is the double panic bars and everything else add to it. That configuration, apples to apples, would be $8,358. So nearly half the price. And the indications are that the labor shouldn't be much different between the two. So that's one question. Now, as soon as we put it on the agenda, we start to get some other people we've talked to supplying long-promised proposals. So you have in front of you as well a proposal from, and this matches what I've learned as well. Most commercial door companies are actually sold by glass companies because the glass is put in separate, not at the factory. So this is from a commercial door glazing company, and I'm only going to give the price of the colored aluminum or the colored metal because the base is a aluminum colored clear finish, and I'm not sure that would be appropriate for the building, but you have the information. So they're what I would consider more of a sort of an industrial, and I don't want to prejudice anything, but just industrial smooth metal doors, glass toe to ceiling, $10,800 for a double door set. Probably a little bit lower quality locking mechanisms, not 3-point, but hidden 2-point locking mechanisms and the like. So what I wanted to get some guidance, I think the first question is, and I'll give my opinion right here. When I've now been spending a lot of time looking at restaurants, commercial buildings, unless you need it to get big items in and out of the door, to me, the two-door solutions, one door always has a little sticker that says use the other door. It's always, to me, it's always a little awkward, and it costs a lot more. So between price and convenience of the door, I kind of like the one larger door idea.
My only thought is if there's construction in this building, that's going to be the door.
Well,
is there another
if you ever noticed at the bottom of the stairway at the far end, there's a double door without a center column. Okay. Keep in mind, this has always had a center column, okay. So you could never get anything
true
more
that,
than 3 feet
that,
in.
Yeah.
So we still have that, like for the utilities in the basement and things, there's a door at the end with a double door. Because that's something we've thought of as well.
A single door design is bigger than those doors are now.
Right.
So if we live this long with
combined?
That.
You mean... A single door combined? Like it's
because this has a middle column.
It has a middle column.
Oh. That is the middle column.
So a single door is bigger than either one of those doors, so you could never get anything in bigger than that door anyway. So
I didn't realize that other one opened up because I've never opened
the
it.
The far one?
Yeah.
I didn't actually open it, but I looked at it. It's. I don't see why it wouldn't open. Yeah.
My only concern was security. If you ever had to evacuate really quickly, is it big enough to...
Fair point. I've checked this with our fire code inspector and our building inspector to ask exactly that. Would that change the occupancy if we change a door? And from a code perspective, it wouldn't. He said we've got the other exits. This is one of a series of exits. Wouldn't change that.
And then the other thing... Oh, well, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I can only answer from a code perspective.
Jamming through that. I mean, I was thinking more like if people were running out, would they jam up at a single door? But if it's a wider door...
That's this proposal.
So, but the other thing too is, with the construction, is the hole going to be? We're going to have to change the hole.
Well, that's why we're going to have before we make any final decisions. This is we're just asking for a direction because exactly how that's into the concrete we don't know yet. We'll need a contractor to get prices of exactly the labor to install it. I don't want to put you on the spot, but we happen to have a licensed architect in the room and the public if he has any guidance. It's not been discussed with him, so feel free not to make any statements.
But you have to be concerned about the occupant load, assembly use.
And it wouldn't change that. By
two-thirds of the occupants have to exit through where they come in.
Ah, that's interesting.
So it does have to be a larger capacity, but a wider door off the top of my head is probably over there. Without doing the calculations.
Okay. Yeah, no, Ralph Price and Gary Apgar both have looked at it, and you don't get the final answer until you ask them to approve drawings, but the preliminary assessment is shouldn't change this.
I like the price of the single door. But I have a little trouble when I look at the building. The front door is a single door, and we have double doors. The front door has a chimney above it, and now we're bringing this door over here, which is the front door. That's the only thing that bugs me about the single door being over here. I like the single door's price. It's half the price.
The only thing I would add to that is...
aesthetically, when I look at the building, I know I'm a little goofy. You know, see the single door, see the chimney, then I see the same entrance over here. It's the only thing that I have a hang up with.
The only thing I would point out is if you didn't know the building and you drove up middle of the afternoon and said, "Oh, let me go to the main."
I'd see the chimney.
Let me go to the main double door. You'd be pulling on the double doors, and everyone would say, "No,
that's true.
Go to the other door."
That's true.
And then we have broken door again. Broken door. I would like to see the cost of the construction along with the price, because if it ends up being the same, I would go for a double door if everything works out where the construction maybe is higher for the single door. For some reason, they have to close the opening a little bit more.
The preliminary, because I've asked that, the preliminary view is they didn't see why it should be different. It's two structural columns flashing an edge. Shouldn't be materially different. There's a little bit more hardware that has to be installed, so this will be the double doors will be a little higher, mm-hmm. but it shouldn't be double the cost. But our thought was to be fair to contractors rather than have them give estimates on three different alternatives.
Mm.
Try to, if we can narrow it down, if we can't, we can't. And there's nothing final yet about, nothing final about this brand that we're looking at. We can go to the.
I also, my opinion is personally, I stay away from the metal doors, the aluminum doors.
Yeah.
We have them in our office building, and granted, we wouldn't get solar gain here, but on heavy Sundays, they don't open. They swell from expansion. Yeah. And so, yeah, that was probably the worst design added feature. So the wood tends to stay a little more stable in that environment. So I'd stick, and also it sticks with the look of it.
That was
building.
My feeling.
Yeah, the look. You got to, aesthetics.
So.
Well, what's the condition of the actual main door?
Well, that is slated, and I mean, they're independently considered projects, but I think if we change the look and feel of this door down the road, we would probably go with the same look and feel and manufacture for the reception area door.
How close are we to having to replace that front door? Are we years
the other
away?
One?
Yeah.
I think less than years away.
Maybe you can get a good deal if you get them both.
Maybe. So the question tonight, you can tell I've spent time with Warren talking about this, and others of us have as well. I don't know if you're in a position to give guidance, or if, the only thing, and this comment will recur a couple of times, we're now in August. You don't want to be replacing the door in December.
Mm.
So if we're going to do it, we've got to start focusing on that.
So we can check that one. We don't need the metal, right?
If that's is that a consensus? I mean, Mark vocalized that. You seem to be.
Yeah, I like to. If the glass is strong, I do like seeing out. You like to see who's coming, who's and like you said, somebody's coming the one way. You don't want the door hitting the person.
That's why we clearly kind of evolved to say, it makes a lot of sense to have windows across the top.
Yeah, and it makes it cheery inside, too, which is good. So I would, in my opinion, I would look at the two that you have in this original proposal, and I would just try to get construction estimates and see what happens.
So I have a curiosity question. This double door, though, is only ADA when both doors are open.
Probably right.
Where the other one is ADA, no matter what.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's just another thought here, is if you have somebody coming in with a wheelchair, they have to manage or have somebody manage both doors to open, whereas the other way, they just have to open one door and get in.
Yeah.
A wheelchair couldn't get in anyway.
Well.
got to step, you got to step up.
We got ramps.
There's no step on this door. There's a ramp to this door.
Yeah.
There's a ramp to this door and a ramp into here.
One
so
more.
That's my only thought there, is that, you know, it's more, I'd say it's more truly ADA without assistance as a single door.
Now, it's probably not, if the indication I got was correct that it's not a huge difference in construction, maybe we can ask for a quote for labor for either installation. It's really, I think, some of the hardware and the like that's going to change the price of the two-door versus the single-door installation.
Well, now I'm thinking with that ADA thing, that could be, if somebody's not there to open both doors.
I don't want to complicate life, but for full disclosure, this manufacturer, this was the best that they could do. And Anderson is a major manufacturer. You know, if the committee charged us to find a manufacturer who would build 2 3-foot doors where each one is ADA compliant in a double door scenario, it may be out there. I don't know. Tonight we're looking for guidance as to what the committee feels strongly about.
How about if, you know, if you're happy with that manufacturer, maybe just pose that last question. Say this is what we were hung up on ADA.
Well, they've already told me that it's not. It would eliminate the side. We might have to have no side lights and just fill that with, you know, with some sort of filler. I don't know if it would even be the right metal or what it would be, but
it would seem to me we should do both doors at the same time.
There are pros and cons to that. if we can defer
the
that,
money is certainly.
Well, there are procedural issues as well that we can come up with in a future discussion.
Oh, okay.
We're thinking about it.
Go over the threshold.
Which we may be able to propose a solution, but for now.
Hate to put a door in and then discontinue it and they can't match it later.
Well, one door is going to drive the other door. So I think if we start deciding on this door, we can then discuss how we may or may not do both doors at the same time or not.
I like the cheaper door, like Tom said. That would leave some money for the other door.
I like the fact also that it's an ADA compliant single door. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
It makes a difference to me.
Yep.
Maybe have to learn to live to look at it.
Yeah, again, totally opinion, but my view is the first time we drive up with the new door, we're going to say, oh, what
a
mistake. That's horrible.
That
no, the first time we're all going to say, it changes everything. And 2 weeks later, we're going to say, oh, look, there's the door.
Right.
It's always been that way.
Yeah.
It's a total opinion.
Well, a little paint, that'll distract.
So do we need a motion, or is this enough of a consensus to get a quote and come back?
No, you're not procuring anything. You get
no. Yeah, there's nothing binding about going. It's just to kind of narrow down.
Is there a consensus of which one we're doing then?
Well, at least there's a consensus toward the single ADA door.
I believe that's
I'm not
the consensus
saying it's
right
unanimous. It may or may not be unanimous.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's a consensus to get a quote on the single door.
That doesn't require formal action.
Okay. Any other discussion? Anything you want guidance on? What we're
the only thing we ever did do, which now that we have a guidance, we can go back to the guy that does the state contract vendor.
Yes.
We may be able to get what we're looking for from that and not have to worry about forgetting and all that.
Yep. We will definitely do that as well. Okay. So that's Ms. Valour. Next item on old business is titled Statute Clarification. At the last meeting when we passed Resolution 54, 2018, there was a discussion about the statute in it. I know you've done a lot of work, so I turn it over to Committee Woman.
Yeah, basically what the statute for this, the resolution for this year is adequate. There are some laws that are changing, and if we have to, we'll address it next year in the June timeframe.
So no action is required. The resolution we passed last meeting, 54-2018, stands. Okay. The next item is municipal building security. And I know I personally have some questions that step into methods of security and the like, so I would propose that we defer this into the executive session.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. Objections. Then we're on to new business. First item of new business is the Lebanon Township Volunteer Fire Department EMS update. And last week we lost James Crampton to a call, and he wasn't able to be here, but last meeting, but tonight. He is here, and I asked Jim, given the fact that we've taken new delivery of our ambulance and the like, if he could just give us an update focused on the ambulance side, the EMS side of our volunteer fire department.
All right, just as a quick update, like Mike said, in regards to EMS, we took delivery of the new ambulance at the end of July, I believe mid-July. Still not currently in service. We're waiting on some equipment to come in. We had to modify or retrofit one of our existing stretchers to fit into the new required stretcher mount. So once that's done, we're looking at about probably another week or 2 weeks to get that on the road and running falls. While that's going on, we're currently progressing and completing the state certification requirements, which we've discussed in the past. Right now, we're past the paperwork end of it. A lot of this hinges now on getting the truck in service, on doing a few things to the older red ambulance to get that up to par. We're anticipating that being completed by mid to late fall. While that's going on, we're still going to be operating 1953, the white ambulance. And even after we get state certified, that ambulance will still be used as a reserve ambulance. Just because once we become state certified, our ambulances will then have to be staffed by two EMTs as opposed to a driver EMT. Excuse me. By keeping 53, what that will allow us to do is keep a non-state certified ambulance. In the event that we don't have two EMTs and we only have a driver EMT, we'll be able to utilize that ambulance to respond to an EMS incident. It looks like right now, the way things are progressing in our plan, we will only have to hang on to that until about mid-2019, at which point we'll return it to the town. You guys can do with it what you want. A couple other things that I have here. The 27 rescue contract, we are still working with Highbridge as far as daytime coverage. They have switched their staffing provider. That happened in February. The provider, I guess they were having some issues with the provider that they were using and have returned to utilizing Clinton personnel with the similar contract that they had with ERM. Same deal, same contract that we had approached you guys about, I believe, 2 years ago now, just with different people on the truck. Some of the people that were employed by ERM, from my understanding, were picked up by Clinton during that transfer, so we do still have some familiar faces that we had last year. Hybrid Rescue currently is, because of manpower shortages within the fire department, covering us and themselves with the 27 Rescue truck Saturdays and Sundays, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
So. The state-certified ambulance, the purpose of it is?
To eventually get to the point in which we can bill for service.
Okay.
Bill for transportation?
Yes.
But I know occasionally there's a question, people wonder if Highbridge, the 27, are using our new ambulance?
No, at no point is any member of any other agency utilizing our vehicles. Anybody?
Comments, questions?
This is a kind of side question. If we were to collect fees from every call on the average that you would charge, do you know in a year, an average, what it would take to cover those? It's not a trick question. I'm just curious.
To cover existing overhead expenses?
Yeah, well, no, like people that you're transporting and you bill them. Like when my mother-in-law used to go, I think it was charged $700 for the trip to Hunter to Medical. Like on the average year, how many would
be billable?
Saying 24/7?
Yeah. Just like in the course of a year, how much... If everybody paid.
But 24 hours a day, 7 days.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I have that number somewhere. Yeah. I don't have it readily available. So we,
okay.
As far as billable transports, we average currently what would be between 350 and 400 a year. That's nights and weekends and stuff that we cover with volunteers now.
Mm-hmm.
As far as 27 rescue calls, which are daytime, 7 days a week right now, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's an additional 127 calls, 100 or 90 of which I believe are billable calls. Something to keep in mind in this process is a lot of the larger, I won't say for-profit agencies, hard bill their patients. So if you don't pay that bill, they're going to send you to collections, and it gets nasty. That's not our prerogative on this.
Right.
We're going to send a soft bill, more or less take what the insurance company is willing to give us. And we'll send you a notice that there's a balance, but if you don't pay it, we're not going to chase you for it. We're not going to run anybody down over. As far as hard numbers and stuff like that, what the income would be, I don't, like I said, I have that somewhere based off of prior numbers that I've gotten from 27 Rescue and stuff like that, but I don't think it would be fair to throw that out there in the public right now.
Yeah, I was thinking hard data. It was more from the perspective of not so much revenue collection as can if somebody wanted to help some of these people.
Yeah.
If there was a fundraiser to help people that just they're down on their luck and they can't pay, for example.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like I said, we're not going to chase down residents for money and stuff like that, because we do get a donation from the township yearly and stuff like that. And it's not our prerogative to do that. We want to help people the best we can. This is being done in the aspect to combat the existing cost of overhead that we see all the time. I mean, you put fire, rescue, EMS, police department in front of you, any piece of equipment, it could be a hammer or a crowbar, and that for some reason doubles. And it's not getting any cheaper to do what we do now. So,
thanks.
So do you see this program that you're going to enter into with a certified ambulance and a soft billing strengthening your group?
Yes.
Do you see you increasing your group?
It'll offer some advantages that at this point with our contractual obligations with other agencies I'm not going to go into. But it'll increase our ability to further enhance the level of care that we're able to provide to the township.
And it would still be nights and weekends? Any daytime?
Again, I'm not going to go into that because of contractual obligations that we have with other agencies. So.
But just to be clear, right now we contract to 27/hybrid.
Yes.
Hybrid. The contract is 5 days a week, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yes, and we augment
we've added on
that contract to cover
Saturdays and Sundays.
Daytime.
Daytime.
6 a.m. to 6 p.m. But our volunteers are covering seven nights a week, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Yeah. And did you say 350 to 400 calls are in that nighttime period?
Yes.
Per year? Any other discussion on EMS? Great. Thanks a lot for the update.
Thanks, Chief.
I'm sure we'll look forward to future updates. Okay, next item on the agenda is Squires Point Historians of Lebanon Township Incorporated. Now, given that Sharon Hardy is one of the board members of Squires Point, I'm going to abstain from this discussion and turn it over to the deputy mayor / liaison to the historians to lead the discussion.
Okay. So, yeah, please, come up.
Lori Hoffman, vice chair of Squires Point. And I've been working on this bathroom, it seems like forever.
Longer than a DPW floor?
Actually, yes.
I mean, Victor reads in the minutes that they've been doing it since 81.
Sharon Hardy, 4 Central Square. Nina Savoya, 40 West Nicomino Road.
Nick Hoffman, chairman.
Okay, so we represent Squires Point, which is a nonprofit, 501(c), and we were established in 79. Well, it was established in 79 with the purpose of, so a group of people got together to turn this old school into a museum. So their goals was a museum, the old farmhouse at Florence High School, and Swackhammer Church. So we've met on and off throughout the years. They've been nonprofit. They stopped paying the nonprofit or filing the forms. Now we've gone through the process, and now we are fully a 501 and able to accept donations.
So your 501c, your corporation is reinvigorated from where it was.
Yes.
It was kind of in a sleep mode.
For 8 years, I think. Mm-hmm. About 8 years or something like that.
Okay.
Okay, so now we have a few donors willing to donate enough to do the bathroom that's been approved already by the committee.
You're referring to the addition that the township looked at and realized it was out of our position we wanted to be in as a township with the... And this is the same addition?
Same addition, and Chris Nash, who is here, the architect that did the designs that he approved, and he's willing to donate the same designs to the committee. So we would like to move forward. I understand we need to have a blessing of the township committee. We are willing to do whatever insurance fees that you are requiring us. So
last meeting we had another group in here was a 501c that kind of set some standards.
Mm-hmm.
Are those standards what you see your group adhering to?
Yes.
The same type of memorandum of understanding? Because it's out there with this township is the way I see it right now.
Yes.
As a memorandum of understanding. And so you're hoping as what they did are going to do in the park that you would then enhance the museum on your own without the township being involved. Is that where we're
yes.
coming? Okay.
So we want to do this without the township's involvement.
Okay.
In the end, when we're complete, we are going to turn it over as part of our mission statement.
The plans are intact. The
yes.
plans that you've drawn, they are now Squires Point's plans.
Absolutely.
Turn this to the committee if you have any questions while we have them here.
So you have the definitely, is it a commitment for the funding or the funding is in the account already? And I don't even know if that matters.
But as long as we are able to move forward with the bathroom.
Okay. So to hedge any concerns, there's a vehicle where any donations that are coming to Squires Points has a house to hold those fundings for this application, and it's dedicated for that only, so a resident, any resident in the town or anybody who wants to makes a donation that's earmarked. If they have it earmarked for the museum to aid in the addition of the bathroom, it is solely in that for that reason
yes.
and that reason only. Is
yes,
that
so
correct? There's no other projects you have right now?
No, we're not.
Okay.
No, we're going to little baby steps. So even though this is a big thing.
Because that was a concern we had with the other group is making sure the donations went into the proper vehicle.
Yeah, I saw that.
That it was used for what mm-hmm. the people felt they were donating for. And that's important to this committee.
Yes.
Answer your question, Jeff.
Excuse me?
Answer your question, Jeff.
Thank you.
How does it impact, and again, this is all hypothetical, down the road if the township were to sell the museum, not that that's in the plans, but if there's a transaction mm-hmm. of some sort, how does it, is it impacted by any of this 501?
Because once we're done constructing the museum,
mm-hmm.
our mission statement says we will turn it over so it will become the property of the township. That bathroom added to the museum. So we're not going to just own, Squires Point isn't going to own just the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's done, then that's in our mission statement to turn over. So any improvements we do to anything else is to eventually, if it's on township property, is to turn that improvement to become part of the township.
Any guidance on that, Matt?
Just donating it to the township.
As to whether or not it can be done?
Yeah, any problems with that it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
Any improvements we make will only enhance that building.
Right.
In your future consideration.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, the issues are similar to what we talked about in the last meeting.
Right.
And the safeguards are that obviously if the funding doesn't occur, the project won't take place. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just worried about encumbrances of any, that's the word I was looking for.
No, I mean, as far as, is it clouding title or anything like that, they're not going to, it's a manageable issue. It's not unusual for efforts to be made on behalf of this type of improvement in various capacities to then become the for the benefit and actual ownership of the municipality.
Well, I don't know why we really wouldn't support this.
Right.
I agree.
Yep.
And just for my own clarification, or maybe just clarification for everyone, this is covering the addition. We would still be doing the septic system.
The township's responsibility.
Correct.
Which we have put aside funding for.
Correct.
That is our hope. We've always looked at it as two separate
entities. Two parts, yes.
So
yep.
We were hoping, because the town has already approved $75,000 for the septic, or for the whole thing.
I just wanted to make sure it was clear that there was still another piece out there that we still had to take. Well,
this is the first step. We can't do anything else until give us the approval.
Right, and so if we give you the approval and then the angels come forth and give you the money, then we're golden. But if they didn't, for some reason, they reneged, then we need to have a fundraiser.
Oh, they have to keep fundraising.
They
wouldn't do it this year, then.
We'll be coming up with fundraisers.
Yeah, okay.
Now for future.
I think it's a great idea, and I think that this committee should give them their blessing. That's my feeling.
Yeah, I agree.
So do we need to make a motion on this that we're allowing Squires Point to start the construction of?
Yeah, I would, for the purposes of it. We want there to be a clear record. It may affect their fundraising or whatnot. We even though it's not an operative motion, I think it's important to have a motion of support of this project as set forth.
Motion of support of the project of Squires Point.
As they've laid it out here tonight.
I'll second. Oh, did somebody make a motion?
I haven't. I'm looking for the motion.
I'll make a motion to support Squires Point 501(c)(3) funding, getting approval for the...
Correct. Built to the plans that we've already had.
For the museum addition.
Multiple times.
Second.
Right. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item of new business. As we announced recently, we had a DPW employee who unfortunately resigned, and our DPW supervisor has asked if we could advertise for a new DPW employee. The one twist that we've had in the past, the position requirements, which include the minimum CDL Class B with air brake endorsement, various other requirements for a DPW employee, we would like to add a preference for a Firefighter 1 certification, making it clear that that's a preference, not a job requirement at this point. So with that, unless there's any discussion on what that means.
The only thing I was wondering about is, it was mentioned to me something about can it affect civil service, and I don't know if that, would we become a civil service, or would that position become a civil service type of a position? I don't know all the details, but that's...
I certainly don't know. Is that...
Well, I mean, not as it's proposed, no. I mean, there's a lot of issues we could delve into here and decisions that would be made, but as it's presented, no. So, I mean, those issues would arise if it were full-time in the other direction.
Full-time in what direction?
If the preference was mandatory because those were the primary duties. So.
Oh, if it was a firefighter role,
right,
that was actually doing DPW work
person
on the side.
Exactly.
Okay.
And by the way, there'd be nothing that prevents, without us saying a preference, and a qualified person could come apply for the job who happens to be a member of a volunteer fire department. And as I have understood the law, if the fire call goes out and you're a member of the fire department, the employer has to let you go to fight the fire.
Correct.
So by saying it's a preference, it doesn't change the fact that someone may actually already, it just could happen coincidentally, but we're just expressing that we think that would be a good addition. And that's why I actually do think it's, we would encourage any of our businesses and the like to let their employees go for public service, and I think the township should encourage that as well, is a thought that I have.
Well, Mayor, we're only going to be advertising for one position at this time.
Yeah, that's the
only concern is, come winter, if we still have all these people out on medical leave.
I would think if we're on short-term medical leave, which is the indications we have now, that maybe we would at worst case, need just temporary employees, but I don't think we would look for full-time employees if we're expecting the full-time people to be back.
So wait a little longer and then see if we need something temporary?
I think that would be, if that sounds right to the supervisor.
Well, we know one won't be back till next year. Any word on the other?
Still not getting anything back.
Yeah.
All right, can we?
Yeah. We lost one. We're down three right now.
So, is there a motion to advertise as described?
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, next item, we have before us the police chief request for a new vehicle. This was in our budget earlier this year. He's looking for a 2019 police interceptor SUV. The price of the item is $39,708.35 under a state contract. But we would lease this. We use three-year leasing, so it's roughly $15,000 per year for the lease, and then we own it and get whatever couple of so-called free years out of it. And that's the fully configured price, including the light bars, the letter and all that's required. Is there a motion or further discussion on the approval of the chief of police to go out and purchase a new vehicle?
I'll make a motion to approve the request for a police chief for a lease purchase vehicle, 2019 police interceptor SUV.
I'll second. Then I'll ask a question.
Yes.
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 Yes. Do we all need to sign this because it's that much? It looks like that's there's a line for everything here.
Do we
no,
sign this
no,
on the
no,
way?
No,
okay.
No.
I guess
just one. And I'll submit it with the minutes.
Okay.
So she knows.
So since we all are on the record voting, apparently.
Okay. So that maybe that's what it is. So it's just, yeah.
Next item. And as I said, I never thought that I would be in this position, but we have before us a request for permission to land a Black Hawk helicopter in Memorial Park on September 9th, 2018.
Your birthday, isn't it, Brian?
One of our police officers, Officer Rautenberg, is a member of the military, a lieutenant colonel, and he would personally fly the vehicle in. This is the Black Hawk helicopter. This is during the GEMVAC Veterans Picnic. And what we are asked to sign is event certification, which says that we certify that the agreement has been made with the sponsoring organization to use the site indicated. Checked with our administration, and that application is all in good order. So we're looking for a motion to approve the event site certification request for military aerial support.
Free rides or
aerial? That was done years ago.
It is
but
my,
I don't,
it is
I
my birthday. Yeah.
Please now.
I'll make a motion to approve the aerial support request form. I guess that.
And to authorize the mayor to sign.
And authorize the mayor to sign.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, next item is a letter, correspondence from the Raritan Headwaters regarding the Raritan Headwaters annual stream cleanup, which took place April 14th. It was a tremendous success, enlisted a record, not just in Lebanon Township, but across the whole Raritan Headwaters, 1,660 volunteers. Over the course of their three-hour event, cleaned up 14 tons of debris at 56 stream sites. They thank us for our support. In the past years, we've made a donation to Raritan Headwaters of $300, and the request is before us whether we would like to, again, make a $300 donation to Raritan Headwaters. I would also point out Raritan Headwaters provided a lot of support when we acquired the Red Mill Road property, both in navigating the grant system and getting that done, but also they allocated one of their Green Acres grants for I think it was more than a third of the funding for that.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve a $300 donation to Raritan Headwaters.
A second.
Roll call.
Second.
Yes.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, social affair permit. This is for the Lebanon Township Memorial Park. The Friends of Memorial Park will be serving alcohol at their event on September 29th, 2018. As I understand it, this has been approved by the police department. It's all in order.
It will be in review by the police department. It won't be sent until it's...
Okay, so subject to, so our motion to approve would be subject to review by the police department. Is there a motion or comment or question?
I'll make a motion to approve the application for a social fair permit for the Friends of Memorial Park.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And also for Friends of Memorial Park, a raffle license, also for September 29th, 2018, from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. This is a 50-50 cash collected raffle. Any discussion or motion?
Make a motion to approve the raffle license raffle license for Friends of Memorial Park for September 29th, 2018.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, we're on to presentation of vouchers.
Okay, I have two for DPW, Jesco Incorporated, that's John Deere. Loader work, you made $11,646.89. And Tilcon, New York, Inc., asphalt, the amount of $6,693.36. That's all I have.
I have one here that qualifies for the Township of Tewksbury. It's our shared court service for the second quarter of 2018. It's for $9,660.75.
I have a refund of a construction escrow for Block 46, Lot 29.05, in the amount of $8,214. Another refund of a construction escrow for Block 32, Lot 11.02, in the amount of $2,961.50. Our JCP&L master account electric bill for July, $1,055.61. And the tax sale certificate redemption passed earlier. This is for Block 7, Lot 6, $52,457.43. And statewide insurance fund for our fourth installment payment for workers' compensation insurance and fourth installment payment for our umbrella policy combined $51,124.25.
I have none that apply.
I have one. This is for Griffith Allied Trucking. This is for gasoline for the police for $1,173.25.
Any discussion or motion to approve the voucher list?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. The next item, we have this in correspondence because we, over the past week or so, we received a letter from the Department of Environmental Protection Green Acres Program. They did their periodic review of various open space properties in Lebanon Township, four specific properties, although it's five actual lots underneath those properties that I'm aware of. No major issues they on each of the lots. There's maybe a little bit of overgrown here and some potential infringement there, some signage that they would like to see changed. I would suggest that we ask the liaison to open space, Mark Wall, to review this and come back to us with whatever action is required. They're requesting action by August 31st.
Yeah, I talked to Adam. We're going to open on Monday.
Next item of correspondence, we have two letters from the Department of Community Affairs Local Finance Board determinations. The first one, this is addressed to Dear Mr. Wonder. This relates to complaints that were lodged about our LOSAP activity back in 2010-2011. Going right to the conclusion for Mr. Wonder, upon review of these facts and circumstances, the board voted to dismiss this complaint for having no reasonable factual basis. Complaint LFB C15029 is now closed. We also received a letter from our former committeeman, Ronald Milkowski, who, as it turns out, and I don't know if we even were aware that these complaints were out there back from 2010, but it was it's the same complaint number, LFB C15029, related to LOSAP activity back in 2010-2011. The summary comment for Mr. Milkowski was, upon review of these facts and circumstances, the board voted to dismiss this complaint for a lack of jurisdiction. Complaint LFB C15-029 is now closed.
Bless.
Related to this, we also received this evening, addressed to the committee, each of us have it in our packet, a letter from Mr. Wunder summarizing some of the history and suggesting some future action. He's asked us to submit this into the record if anyone has an interest in following up. Any comments or questions on this topic? With that, the next item of correspondence is the Recreation Commission notes from June 18th, 2018. Any comments regarding that? So with that, we're on to public comment. If there's a motion to open the public comment.
I'll make a motion to open a public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. The floor is now open to public comment, if anyone would like to come to the microphone. I'm not seeing any. Seeing none. Is there a motion to close public comment?
So moved.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. We will be going into executive session. That will be Resolution 59-2018. We have a couple of items. One is related to our library staff, a personnel matter related to salaries for some of our employees, collective bargaining update, and the municipal building security.
The collective bargaining is the CWA,
right,
correct?
CWA.
So we specify.
On three, I do expect potential action at the end of executive session.
And possibly even on that security. Yeah. It depending.
So, is there a motion to go into
so moved.
Resolution 59-2018?
I'll second.
Roll call.